Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8/10 of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
We're out for you! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Celtics Postgame Show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Nick Gelso this evening. So much to get to, game number 82 of the regular season, and on a night with so many Celtic legends in the house, the Celtics on the court turned in a legendary second-half performance. Of course, the number to join us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Look, guys, you know, we can get into breaking down this game all we want here. We can talk about the first half. We can talk about the second half. We can break down why the Celtics didn't bring it at all and speculate as to what was said at halftime. You better believe there was a point of pride brought up at halftime between Brad Stevens and the rest of his team. I do want to get into some off-the-court stuff. Interesting news out of the Garden yesterday. Isaiah Thomas calls a players-only meeting. Clearly, the team did not respond to that players-only meeting with just a terrible, embarrassing first-half performance. I want to get into halftime and what a special halftime celebration that the Boston Celtics were able to put on with the likes of Bill Russell, John Havlicek, and Kevin McHale in the house tonight. And, of course, the always entertaining Bill Russell truly stole the halftime show. So much to get to. We want to get to your phone calls right away here, though, guys, because you guys are lined up patiently. I'm sure there's lots to talk about as the Celtics, with a historic second-half comeback, they hold Miami to just 5 third-quarter points. So what do you say? Let's hit the phone lines here. Okay, so what did you think about the game tonight?
I thought it was pretty impressive.
Let's talk about the second half specifically. Is that what really impressed you, the Celtics' defense and the
energy
that they brought?
I think that this Heat team only scored 5 points in that third quarter. That was kind of funny, but I didn't understand that. That was just terrible for them. I think that really helped us. So
yeah, I think it helped them a lot. It was very impressive for the second half, especially when you're down by 20 points.
Absolutely. Celtics down 26 points in the game this evening, guys, and we appreciate the phone call. Of course, the number here is 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. That is your SeatGeek toll-free phone line to reach us here on the Celtics post-game show this evening right here on CLNS Radio and clnsradio.com. Again, guys, so much to talk about here, so much to get to on the program this evening, but I would be remiss if we didn't talk about Audible, because today's podcast, as always, is brought to you by Audible.com. Of course, Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. Audiobooks are great to listen to when you're driving, running errands, or in the gym, or simply staying at home relaxing. For our audience members only, Audible is offering a 30-day trial. So head on over to audiblepodcast.com/self and check your trial. It's Self Post Game Show right here on CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. We've got to talk about the second half because, guys, the Celtics only giving up 5 points in that third quarter. I believe that was an all-time best for the Celtics as far as defense goes in the history of their franchise. And on a night where you've got some of the best, most impactful players to ever put on the green and white in the building, I have to say I am very, very, very excited to see what the Celtics did in that third quarter. And they were able to carry it over to the fourth quarter. How many times, people, have we seen the Celtics or other NBA teams make a furious comeback and run out of gas and be unable to complete the comeback? But going into the playoffs here, the Celtics really summons up some extra energy. I'm so proud of the effort that this team put forth in the second half. So the Celtics with a all-time defensive best, only giving up 5 points in the third quarter, and Miami marking their all-time offensive futility rating. 5 points is the worst offensive output for any quarter of basketball played in the history of the Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade looked like he brought it this evening to start the game. Joe Johnson, you could see why Miami picked that guy up, and you can see why Hassan Whiteside is somebody who's going to command potentially a max contract in the NBA. But it's all for naught. The Celtics did what they had to do in the second half. I think we all expected a second half run. I don't think anybody could have taken the second half run and projected it out to be exactly what it became for the Celtics. The Celtics come out on top tonight. Essentially, they have a 10-point win, 98-88, in game number 82 of the regular season. We'll get into the Eastern Conference, where the Celtics wound up finishing. I have bad news for fans out there that assumed that a Celtics win tonight would give them home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. It does not. The Celtics finish with the number 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. They will open on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. Probably a worst-case scenario type of situation as far as a first-round matchup opening up against a veteran-laden team, a team that won 60 games last year, and a team that, let's face it, guys, they just did to the Celtics what we're all afraid of. Just a few days ago, they really put the pedal to the metal in the fourth quarter and showed Boston who's boss. So I'd be curious to get your feelings at 347-215-7771. Are you confident as the Celtics enter the playoffs this weekend? The regular season is over. The playoffs are upon us. Again, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. I do want to spend some time talking about Isaiah Thomas because as Isaiah Thomas goes, so go the Boston Celtics. I think we all know that. Isaiah's numbers wound up being pretty damn good. I tell you what, Isaiah finished with 21 points this evening, but a lot of that came late in the game. Isaiah clearly, once again, started the game with an inability to get to the rim and finish the way he usually does, and it worries me. You know, I look for Isaiah Thomas to be the leader of this team, and when he comes out and he's not able to get to the rim and do things that Isaiah does, it scares me. It really scares me. The Celtics desperately need Isaiah Thomas to be the best guy on the court at all times. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go back to Sam in San Diego. You're up next on the program.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. You know, happy they won, disappointed overall. So many emotions throughout tonight's game. Ending up in the 5 seed after all that fight and possibly the worst possibility facing Atlanta and then having to face Cleveland in the second round. I'm feeling kind of down right now about that. I really wanted us to host a series. The only thing I can really look at is in some ways I'm kind of glad they lost to Atlanta the way they did because maybe it kind of gives them a blueprint to watch out for. I never knew Millsap was a great three-point shooter. Maybe they're going to need to get out on him and concentrate on him. But I don't know. This is really tough going up against Atlanta. I'm not feeling comfortable with that prospect.
You know, Atlanta is probably the toughest matchup out of the possible first round matchups for the Celtics. So let's eliminate Toronto. Let's eliminate Cleveland from the equation. Of the remaining teams, Atlanta was the team that I didn't want to see. They've got a pretty damn good pedigree. They've got players that are capable of throwing together a 60-win season, as we saw last year. And they've got guys that provide matchup problems. I mean, Let's talk about Paul Millsap. This guy is a matchup nightmare for the Celtics. As we saw and as we'll get to with some of these other callers later on the program, Jared Sullinger was essentially taken out of that game. Okay, he was deemed ineffective to the point where Brad Stevens was only able to play him for 11 minutes. They're going to need Isaiah Thomas to be at his best. They're going to need Jay Crowder to be at his best and Amir Johnson to be healthy enough and be at his best to keep up with the front court of the Atlanta Hawks. It's a worrisome series. It's a series that I expect the Celtics to win. I fully expect them to go into Atlanta and steal one of the two first games in Atlanta back. But I feel that this thing is going to go six, going to go seven, and it will be an absolute dogfight for the Celtics to get out of the first round successfully. I was hoping for a first-round matchup with home court advantage against a team like Charlotte to give the Celtics a bit of an easier path. Although, you know, Charlotte did what they did to the Celtics. They're not playoff-tested. They're not playoff-proven. You can chalk that game up to one bad loss, where Atlanta has just got the right players. They've got all-star players. They've got proven veteran players. And they've got that playoff experience that the Celtics are so desperately trying to get.
Yeah, I'm just kind of hoping, well, Lennox really looking around the basket lately. I'm hoping that he'll play well in that series against a longer team like that. Obviously, I just don't know how we score on them in the front court. They've got such a veteran presence there. I still have nightmares from the 08 season. Their crowd brought it against us, and from the crowd to the public announcer with his 3-point call, I'm not looking forward to this series. So hopefully we can steal one and get it back to Boston and take a couple. But I'm just a little down from having the winning and finishing the 5 seed. So guys, thanks for taking my call, and I'll see you guys in the playoffs. Go Celtics.
We appreciate it, Sam. Go Celtics. The number here to join us, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Let's keep pounding these phones, guys. It's a busy night here on the program. Celtics fans are excited. They want to talk playoff basketball. You want to talk historic comeback. You want to talk about the legends in the building tonight. We're here for you at 347-215-7771. Your SeatGeek toll-free phone line. Let's head out to Alan. Alan, my good friend Alan, you're up next on the program. What's on your mind, Alan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Alan from Titletown Apparel. Hey, great game tonight. Celtics pulled off a miracle comeback. And for that tonight, on our website, TitletownApparel.com, we are running a 30% off all Celtics gear tonight. Use code PLAYOFFS at checkout. Now, as for the game and a look forward to on the playoffs, you have to love the defensive effort, obviously, that they showed in the third quarter. Once again, I'm like a broken record. They went with a small ball lineup with Crowder at the four. And
yep.
Avery Bradley, Crowder was able to get a couple leak outs, which really sparked the crowd. And then Olenek playing at the five with his little dipsy doodles under the rim, his flip shots. He was playing pretty big, and that was very, very impressive. So I think that day was a huge, huge spark. And looking forward to the matchup against the Hawks, obviously not ideal. But we can't be mad at that the Hawks lost because we didn't handle our business versus Charlotte or Atlanta the previous two games. But we're going to have to make, I think, some really, really key matchup decisions here. Like I said, Sullinger has a short leash against Atlanta. He can't guard Millsap, and he's undersized versus Horford. So I think we're going to have to really look forward. We're going to have to use a little bit more of Amir and a little bit more of Zeller at the fives, and then maybe play Jay Crowder a little bit more at the four, where I think he can guard Millsap on the perimeter. I mean, he gives up a little size in the post, but you have to give a little to get a little. So I don't know.
That's an interesting take, Alan. I want to hop in. That's a very interesting take. You know, you don't think of Jay Crowder as a four, but he is a 6'7". He is somebody that's proven, especially the second half of the season, that he can defend the four when he has to. And in this new landscape of the NBA where essentially four guys are just bigger threes, he may have to moving forward, especially against a team like Atlanta that brings not only a big front court with Millsap and Horford, but a skilled front court. You know, Horford has never been much of a three-point shooter, but this year I believe he's hit 83 or 84 three-point field goals, which is three times more than he has over the course of his entire 9-year career. We know what Millsap can do offensively. He's got a great inside-outside game. But then my fear is that if the Celtics focus too much on the outside shooting ability of a guy like Millsap, a guy like Horford, you've got guys like Jeff Teague and Kyle Korver that will kill you if the attention is taken off of them for even a moment from three-point land.
Yeah, obviously, this team is so balanced. They have slashers in Teague, Korver who can go on a tear and just be unstoppable from three. They've got inside, outside. And they also have X Factor, I think, is Thabo Sefolosha, who can come in and he can take an Evan Turner right out of the game. So the guy we're bringing off the bench who's going to kind of run the point, get to his elbow spot or get to the rim, get to the baseline. He takes Turner out of the game. And I think maybe having maybe a Turner and Crowder in at the same time and kind of have if they take away one, maybe we can have the other type of situation. But the one thing I do like about playing Atlanta over, say, like a team like Miami is that Isaiah Thomas does struggle against Miami. And I think it's because Hassan Whiteside is like Mr. Erase It in the paint. He had 6 blocks in their last game at home at the Garden. And I think he had 5 or 6 again tonight. Like I think he changes Isaiah's shots too much. He tries to maybe go a little too high, too much spin on the ball and kind of really changes his shots. And then we don't really have like the offensive rebounder in there who's going to come up and clean up those misses because we've been going a little bit smaller. So I think the matchup against the Hawks where Horford is, he's big, but he's not really athletic. He doesn't get off the ground and block too many shots, not too much of a rim protector there. So I do like the Celtics in the series. It's definitely going 6 or 7. I'm going to be at the first 3 home games for the Celtics.
Nice.
I'll be in there screaming my head off. Doing whatever I can to propel this team to the second round because I want LeBron at the Garden.
Wow.
I want it. I want it. I want it. If this is ever the stage that the Celtics want to show the world that they are for real and can draw some free agents to the Garden, this is the stage. I want it. Bring on the crybaby. Bring
love
it on.
It. Love the confidence, man. So you want LeBron. You know, tonight was...
I want it. LeBron brings out the best in us, and that's what we need.
We were talking about this on the last couple shows. Last season, even in a sweep, LeBron went on a complete marketing campaign for the Celtics, bragging up and down Brad Stevens. So I hope this season the Celtics can at least extend the Cavs to 6 or 7 games. But first, we have the first round to contend with. And even after tonight's win, the Celtics still land in what, Patrick? The 6th seed?
5th seed. It's officially 5. And so Atlanta has home court advantage. So it's 5-4 Celtics Hawks. I believe without looking at the standings here, I believe all 4 teams finished with the same record. It came down to tiebreakers, which is just crazy, guys. It's absolutely nuts. The NBA is banana land this year in the Eastern Conference to have 4 teams finish with exactly the same record. It's been a lot of fun. You know, we're here at the end of the regular season. When we wrap the show tonight, I know I'm going to go back to the TV and watch some Kobe and watch the Warriors. The entirety of the NBA season, in my opinion, has been a tremendous amount of fun. Of course, it helps when the Celtics are good. I mean, it keeps our interest peaked that much more. But if you're just a general basketball guy like I am, this has been a lot of fun.
Well, you know what, Patrick? Let me bring up one point. It's a good lesson for NBA fans this season to why every game is so important. The Celtics lost how many tiebreakers in this scenario? I know this is a wacky scenario.
Well, put it like this, Nick. The Celtics lost twice this year to Brooklyn and once to the Lakers. That's 3 wins right there they should have had. This should be a 51-win basketball team. And when you look at it like that, for me, it really stings a little bit. Because let's say you win 2/3 of those games you're supposed to win. It's still a 50-win basketball team. It clearly makes you the leader in the clubhouse for the 3 seed. Things change dramatically. You suddenly have home court advantage along with an easier first-round opponent. So, again, this Celtics team exceeded everybody's expectations. Tonight is not a night to trash the team when they finish the season with 48 wins. But you're right, Nick. If you want to take a closer look, the Celtics certainly are guilty of letting a few get away this year.
Well, I think it's just a lesson that every game is important. I'm not necessarily ragging on the team, by any means. I mean, I think 48 wins is either what we expected or as close to what we could have wanted for this season. Some people went crazy with 50-win seasons, but it is important to take every game. You cannot play down to opponents, and you cannot rest any night. Because here we are in, what, a four-way tie, three-way tie?
Yeah, four-way tie.
A four-way tie. So, essentially, we lost a tiebreaker to all four teams. Is that how it stands? No, because we're
No, because the Celtics would have been the sixth seed if they lost
the
tiebreakers.
You're correct. So,
but you're right. If the Celtics had won a few more tiebreakers, right, they would have been moved up to fourth or potentially third. So your point is still well taken, Nick. Alan, before we let you go, you opened your call with a incredible discount offer for some cool t-shirts. So why don't you end the call by throwing that out there one more time?
Yeah, man. Give it up.
Am I on?
You're on.
Yeah, you're on. Pub it one more time, Alan.
Hey, Alan from Titletown Apparel once again. Hey, check out our website, titletownapparel.com. Right now we have all our Celtics gear, 30% off using code playoff. So use that code playoff at checkout. Get your order in tonight. We'll ship it out tomorrow. And we got some great stuff. We got some great Kelly Olynyk gear. We have some great Jay Crowder gear, Isaiah Thomas. We got some Marcus Smart Cobra gear. So get on the website. Check it out. You won't be sorry.
Oh, I love
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, guys.
Plug.
Appreciate it.
No problem, Alan. Patrick, I don't know about you. I'm giving him a Tommy point. He's got a Tommy point. Give him a Tommy point for that plug.
Alan, you've done this before, haven't you? You're natural. Hey, the guy can sell a t-shirt, that's for sure.
I got to do what I got to do. I got to keep the lights on.
Yeah,
keep
baby,
hustling,
you got
Alan.
It.
We appreciate the call.
Thanks, Alan.
We appreciate the call a lot. We appreciate everything,
All right, thanks,
Alan.
Guys, appreciate it.
347-215-7771. 347-215-7771. That's your SeatGeek toll-free phone line right here on the Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, where the Celtics come out surprising 98-88 winners. If you are guilty of turning the game off at halftime, I don't blame you. If you are guilty of leaving the game at halftime, I don't blame you. The Celtics trailed by as many as 26 points in a lethargic, apathetic, disinterested sort of way. And that was what was most troubling about it, because there's a bit of a trend here. The Celtics suddenly turned it off against the Hawks. They didn't show up against the Charlotte Hornets, and the Celtics seemingly decided not to show up for the first half of basketball tonight. But the Celtics do something at halftime. Brad Stevens flips a switch of some sort at halftime. I don't know if Kevin McHale and John Havlicek and Bill Russell, you know, went into the locker room and said, what are you doing? You're embarrassing yourselves, guys. But something clearly changed. Win or lose tonight, the Celtics came out with a renewed effort on the defensive end. And if you watch the ESPN version of the broadcast, that's what was pointed out time and time again, is that the Celtics were successful this year because of their defensive effort. They outworked their opponents 99% of the time. And the Celtics certainly outworked the Miami Heat in the second half of tonight's game, holding Miami to just 5 third quarter points to get back into the game.
Patrick, I got to go back and bring up, circle round the wagons here. You brought up a point about IT calling a team meeting yesterday. What details, if any, do you have on that?
So here's what I know. Following practice yesterday, the coaches all went home, and Isaiah had all of his teammates stay behind. He was clearly concerned about the Celtics' level of play against Charlotte, but the message that he delivered to his team was that, look, guys, let's not be guilty of looking ahead. In his mind, the Celtics, once they clinched over the weekend, of looking ahead to the playoffs, and he didn't want the Celtics to fall victim of a team looking ahead. He wanted them to focus on the game at hand. That is the path that got them to 48 wins, and believe it or not, that is the path that will lead to success in the playoffs, not looking at a series as a potential 7-game series, but playing that one game that one night and moving on from there. So that was Isaiah's message to his team.
Wow.
I don't know if it fell on deaf ears. What concerns me is generally after a players only meeting, the players step it up. And for whatever reason, Nick, and we can speculate all we want here, they clammed up. They did not, you know, step it up the way they usually do. So again, I tell you what, Nick, you got to give the Celtics credit for what they did in the second half. We have to talk about Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart had a goose egg tonight. I think he had 2 assists, no rebounds in 23 minutes. But the Celtics made the bulk of their comeback with Isaiah Thomas on the bench and Marcus Smart on the floor. So when people say he does the little things that don't show up on the stat sheet, I think tonight is proof positive that Marcus Smart continues to have a positive effect on this basketball team, despite it not showing up in the box score.
The other thing, too, is you talk about clamming up. Tonight, you know, it's the season finale. You have, you know, just about every legend short of Larry Bird in the house. Isaiah Thomas gets the Red Auerbach Award. I mean, there are no excuses to be made. This is a big boys game. However, I could see it being a little bit off kilter to start. Now, to the point or the extent of a 26-point deficit, nah, I can't stand for that. But there is some sort of an excuse there, I guess.
I guess there's a small excuse, but again,
no excuse.
What really is the difference maker in tonight's game, Nick, was the effort on the defensive end. When the Celtics decided to get back to playing Celtic defense, right, and really get into the passing lanes and be aggressive and essentially taunt the opponent, I loved what we saw in between the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah.
When Marcus Smart got thrown down, he wasn't going to stay down, and I love that. The Garden crowd, once again, rising to its feet, getting behind its team. When they came back from commercial break, the Garden crowd still on its feet. Moments like that matter. But my concern is, where was that effort in the first half? Where was that effort against the Charlotte Hornets? You know, for a game and a half, we saw the Celtics look lethargic and apathetic and tired and, quite frankly, disinterested. So whatever formula for success they found in the second half of tonight's basketball game, it's my hope that they're able to carry that over to game one of the NBA playoffs this weekend.
You know what? We'll get a better insight when we have our grandstand locker room report from Jared Weiss, who's definitely in the bowels of TD Garden right now, chatting it up with the Celtics players and coaches. That's coming up soon.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'd be very curious to really hear from inside the locker room tonight, because what a range of emotions. I'm one of these guys, Nick, that gets into sports because not only because I love sports, but I love the emotional aspect of it. And tonight was an emotional roller coaster for fans. I can't imagine what it was like to be a player on either side tonight. You know, you've got a lot on the line for both teams, playoff positioning on the line for both teams. And again, this is the last game of the regular season for both of these teams. Emotions certainly were running high in the building tonight. So let's get right back to the phone lines here. The SeatGeek phone, toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. The Boston Celtics over the Miami Heat in the final game of the 2015-2016 regular season campaign. Your final score, 98-88. Let's go to Jason. He's up next. So what'd you think of the game? What's on your mind? You called into the program. Tell me what you're excited about, what you're angry about, what's going on.
Well, I mean, I was angry in the first half, much like, you know, everybody else was. I was on, you know, the Bleed Green group and Facebook, and people were just shocked, I guess, upset, and I was the same way. But you know, that second half, as you guys mentioned, Stevens pressed the button. He did something. I don't know. Bill Belichick is there. Maybe he had
Belichick.
Something to say there. You know, maybe he came in and said something. I don't know. But I was happy the way the team responded. I was happy to see Turner. I mean, he really doesn't show much emotion out there, but after that squabble that happened between the third and fourth quarter, he was lit up. And
his full court defense
that
tonight was something else in the second half. He picked up full court and was a huge reason why the Celtics' defensive energy was so much better in the second half.
I have to agree. Like I said, I never really see much emotion out of him, but tonight he, after that thing that they had going on, he was a different person, and I was just glad to see that. I was glad to see it felt like a playoff game. It felt like a finals game. You know, it almost kind of reminded me of that the game against the Lakers in the finals in 08 when we were down by so many points and we happened to come back out there in LA. It just had a different type of feel, and I felt we were gonna come back. My question is, how do we look against the Hawks in the playoffs? I don't really care about the regular season. you know, their record against us in the regular season. How do we look? How do you think we look in the playoffs against them?
It's a good question, and I touched on it earlier. So Nick, I'll be curious to sort of hear what you have to say about the Hawks. Look, the Hawks present a few matchup problems for the Celtics. We saw it throughout the regular season. This is a matchup nightmare for a guy like Jared Sullinger. So generally his minutes, his contributions get cut in half. I believe he played 11 minutes against the Hawks last week. You look at the Celtics front court depth, it's not really there. Where the Hawks front court, you've got guys that are essentially two-way players. You've got, Al Horford, who can now stretch to three. We know what he does inside the paint. There's a series of matchup nightmares. Paul Millsap is a guy that murdered the Celtics last week for 35 points. Another matchup nightmare. The question becomes, do you play Jay Crowder essentially out of position and play him at the four to try and slow down a guy like Paul Millsap? And then, of course, you've got one of the best pure shooters in the NBA in Kyle Korver and one of the upper echelon point guards in Jeff Teague. So very much a pick-your-poison type of team.
I worry about Atlanta. The front court scares the hell out of me, to be honest with you.
I just don't – I feel like as though there's a lot of matchup problems with them as well. I just don't feel as though we're long enough against that team, and we seem to have a lot of issues with teams that have long front courts. And I just feel like that front court is going to give us some problems.
Well, I tell you what, and here's something I want you guys to put in the back of your head while you watch the first couple of games of this series unfold. This is a series that has got Jonas Jerebko written all over it. Not necessarily for his offense, but because of his length, his athleticism. He's somebody that defensively could potentially match up pretty well with a guy like Paul Millsap. He's got the length. Right. He's got the footwork. And again, you don't lose much on the defensive end when Jonas Jerebko is on the floor. And let's face facts here. While he's not a great offensive threat, Atlanta still has to respect his ability to switch out to three.
Agreed.
Yes, I agree.
All right, man. We want to make you a regular caller. We hope to hear from you again soon.
Okay, no doubt. I'll definitely be calling in.
We appreciate phone call. Hang with us through the playoffs, Jason, and make us your home after every single playoff game, whether you need a place to vent because things didn't go the way you wanted or you want a place to celebrate as a big community. We will be here after each and every single Celtics playoff game. That's right, Celtics playoff basketball is coming up in just a few short days here. We know where the Celtics are going to be. We know exactly who they're going to face. We do not have Game 1's game time yet. That's the next piece of information that we are waiting for. And again, if you're just new to the program, you want to follow us on Twitter, check us out at twitter.com/CLNS Radio, at CLNS Radio. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNS Fans. Download the CLNS Radio app, mobile podcast app for iOS and Android. Simply search CLNS Radio in your app marketplace today. Let's get right back to the phones at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Miley, you're up next in the program. What's on your mind, Miley?
Yeah, how well do you think the Celtics will do against the Hawks this Saturday? Or Sunday, whichever day they're playing.
Go for it, Patrick.
Again, this is a tough matchup. If I were a betting man and I had an opportunity to sort of pick the Celtics' poison here in the Eastern Conference, let's remove Toronto and Cleveland from the equation. The Hawks were the biggest matchup nightmare for me. I much rather would have seen the Celtics face off against these Miami Heat, the Charlotte Hornets, not these Atlanta Hawks. Last year, they were a 60-win basketball team. They were pacing to be a 60-win basketball team post-All-Star break this year. There was a letdown in Atlanta the first 2 months of this year. But really, post-All-Star break, they have turned it on. They're not quite as dominant as they were last year, but still, there are matchup problems galore for the Celtics and this Atlanta Hawks team. It's very much a pick-your-poison type of series. The Celtics will have to lock in defensively to give themselves a shot to win this series, a legitimate shot. In order for them to win this series, let's be honest, they need to first and foremost go down to Atlanta and steal home court back. That's the Celtics' first job here. And in order for them to do that, they need to lock in defensively in the same manner they did in the second half of tonight's game against the Heat. If the Celtics play defense like they did tonight, they can beat just about anybody in the Eastern Conference.
In the second half.
But it's that Exactly right. In the second half, if they play like they did in the first half, my daughter's CYO team could probably beat them. But in the second half, when they held Miami to 5 third quarter points, if they can mirror that effort and muster that up again in game one, game two against Atlanta and steal home court back, I got to tell you guys, that makes me feel a lot better about the Celtics' long-term propositions for this year's NBA playoffs.
Well, there's one good thing about it too, though. They did beat the Hawks at least a couple. I think one of the games this season.
They did. The Celtics did beat the Hawks this year, and you know it wasn't all just what happened a few days ago in Atlanta. The problem with Atlanta is that they came into this year riding high off a 60-win season. They kept the band together. They made a couple of smaller additions, and they really thought that they were going to compete to win the East. They struggled out of the gate this year, which is pretty much atypical for a team like Atlanta that doesn't have your true LeBron, Kevin Durant type of superstar. When you're relying on a series of second-tier stars to get it right, you're more apt to run into some problems. But if you post-full season campaign. So they're playing at that elite level again as we enter the playoffs. I guess that's what scares me the most.
Miley, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Give us a ring after game one.
All right.
Thanks, Miley.
Miley, we appreciate the phone call. We really do. You know, hang out with us throughout the entirety of the Celtics run in this 2015-2016 NBA playoffs. I keep replaying in my mind what the Celtics did at halftime. The combination of the music and the stars that were out there on the floor at halftime. I just wonder what these guys were thinking as they were looking up at the Jumbotron and seeing the Celtics down by 26 points
They're
celebrating the championship years.
It's funny you say that because I'm here in PA, so obviously they blacked out the Comcast, the CSNNE broadcast, so I'm stuck with ESPN dying to see what's going on at halftime because I don't know if you know, Patrick, but I'm a Celtics history guru. So that's right up my alley. Would have loved to be in the Garden tonight. But I was thinking through the whole first half as they kept cutting to Walton and McHale and Russell. Dude, this is not a good representation of what this team is. And like the old days, because there were times where the Celtics of yesteryear, the real legendary teams would fall behind and in the hole. They pulled back out and they showed Celtics Nation they're ready for the playoffs.
You know, something we haven't touched on yet because, Nick, quite frankly, there are a dozen storylines surrounding not only tonight's game, but the end of the regular season and the playoffs starting this weekend. But you remember following the Golden State win a couple of weeks back, that was a national TV game. And one of the popular storylines was, well, you know, Kevin Durant could be watching. This was a nationally televised game. Big-time free agents could be watching. And the Celtics just put on that sort of an effort. You wonder if the same could be said about tonight's game, because let's face facts here. There is a huge national audience that would be staying tuned for game two of ESPN slate tonight.
Right.
And you wonder if, you know, it being on national TV and then watching the Celtics lock in to do what they do best and seeing the building as electric as it was and the fight between the third and fourth quarter and all the legends in the building, the hairs on my arm started standing up. I wonder if the hairs on Kevin Durant's arm stood up at all.
You know, it's funny, too. That's a great point. You know, players watch. They watch what's going on the court. But also, you got to – if any free agents were watching tonight, they saw the Celtics grit and fighting back. They really stifled the Heat. But they also saw the great culture that surrounds this team. They got it firsthand from the Red Auerbach Award to the legends in the stands and then on the court at halftime to the 26-point comeback in the third quarter. The Celtics showed not only that this is a team that fights, can compete, but also a team that cherishes their alumni.
And that's so important because, again, when you're trying to woo somebody like Kevin Durant here, that's a big part of the sales pitch. Kevin Durant wants to think of himself in that elite class. When he retires someday, he wants to be one of a member of that alumni and be welcomed back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later to celebrate the accomplishments that he had while he was with the team. And I think, you know, it's a point that so many other teams can't make. A team like the Miami Heat been around for 25 years. Really, what history do they have? Are they going to bring back guys like Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning? It just doesn't have the same impact.
They retire Michael Jordan's number, who's not even a player, who played for them. Come on.
Harold Miner and Jeff Turner are in the house tonight. It just doesn't have the same ring, you know? Like, again, it's all about the history, and the history is a part of it. And I think once upon a time when the Celtics were struggling to get free agents and to at least get meetings with free agents, you know, people say to me, well, Patrick, the Celtics had the history then. It's not the history alone, but the history becomes a component to the pitch. And it just completes the pitch. The Celtics this year in the offseason will have the money, the trade assets, a winning season behind them, hopefully a long playoff run behind them, and the ability to sell a free agent on the combination of those five things, plus show them video of tonight and say, look, you've got a home forever here. The second you win one single championship, you have a home forever. And I think that it's got to mean something to some of these guys, and maybe not all of them, but it has to mean something to some of them.
Let's face it, too. I mean, in the past, prior to the Wick Grosbeck ownership group, the Danny Ainge era, sadly to say, that tradition and that culture had started to really go away. It's Wick and Danny that are responsible for bringing it back. So
yeah, it absolutely is. You know, Danny was a part of it, right? And Wick grew up in Boston as a Celtics fan. And there's something to be said for your ownership not being an out-of-town billionaire that's just in it to sell the seats, sell sponsorships, and make money. That's a big part of Wick's business model. He wants to make money, but he also can appreciate the entire history of the franchise because he grew up as a season ticket holder Celtics fan, and it was his dream to own the team.
Not only that, Patrick, but... those traditions and those legends make him money. How many Larry Bird jerseys are still being sold today? How many Bill Russell jerseys are still being sold today? You know, and I think Wick understands that. And I think he also understands that, you know, look at this rebuild that they've had. They've primarily done it in a lot of ways on the cheap, but they've taken, you know, on salaries, Gerald Wallace, David Lee. Wick knows you've got to make investments in the future to get back. And he said it right after the big three were kind of, or the big four was disbanded, Ray first, then Kevin and Paul, and then Rondo. He said, this is not going to be a long rebuild. And true to their words, Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck, this has been a dream come true for Celtics fans. It seems like just yesterday, I was sitting here in this same studio talking about Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, you know, getting to the NBA Finals in 2010, getting back there. I mean, it just seems like yesterday. That was 7 years ago. And this team broke up, what, 3 years ago?
Yep, 3 years ago.
And here we are today.
Not even 3 years. 3 years ago right now. If we can go in the time machine, 3 years ago right now, the Celtics were wrapping a 46-win regular season. Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo, Doc Rivers were getting ready for the playoffs against the Knicks. 3 years ago today.
Yeah, yeah. And now here we are. 3 years later, back in the playoffs, tipping on 50 wins and competitive. I mean, I don't know. I think Atlanta really does scare me back to the present day. We've gone around Celtics, La La Land. So, you know, back to the present day, Atlanta does really scare the shit out of me.
Well, way to be blunt there. I keep forgetting we are not on terrestrial radio.
No,
okay.
FCC there. We're not going to get fined.
Atlanta, they're a scary bunch.
Wait a minute. I hand out the fines on this network. I'm not fighting for that. So no,
that's beautiful. Yeah, Atlanta's a scary matchup, and there's no dancing your way around it. You know, the question really becomes, are the Celtics in a position to handle the best that Atlanta can throw at them? Up until halftime tonight, you know, the worst was running through my mind after the last three games or two and a half games. You wonder about a guy like Isaiah. Is he fighting an injury? Is it fatigue, exhaustion? Is it the wrist? Jay Crowder hasn't looked right. Is it his ankle? Jay missed a game a couple of days ago with the flu, but if talking to Abby Chin blamed it on exhaustion and said he had to get IV fluids 2 days ago. You know, you wonder if this team, because of their defensive energy, their defensive effort that has propelled them to a successful season, if they had just started to run out of gas. Apparently they had another gear and they were able to pull it out tonight. The Celtics clearly deserve 2-3 days off. They deserve it. They need it. I would rather this team spends time in the classroom preparing for Atlanta rather than on the practice court preparing for Atlanta, because this looked like a team that was gassed until the final 24 minutes of the regular season. 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio and CLNSradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Nick Gelso, taking your calls on the SeatGeek toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771. Look, it's an exciting night. I'm pumped up. I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight. I have to tell you guys, between the halftime festivities, the Celtics comeback, I'm a junkie for watching these guys, the old-timers, get up and out there. I teared up when they called out Red Auerbach's daughter, and she's holding the Red Auerbach jersey. Moments like that get to me. I am a Celtics historian. I've been going to the building for 35 years. I've read all the books. I've written a bunch of articles. This is a team that I live and die with. And when they wheel out guys, the old-timers, it means something to me. I'm saddened to see a guy like Bill Russell. I was sad. He was at opening day for the Red Sox a couple of days ago. He had to walk out with an assist from Big Papi. Tonight, he had to walk out with an assist from Jeff Twist, the Celtics' great PR guy, unable to walk under his own power. He just looked a lot older. He looked frail. And this is a guy that has defied age for so long. This is a guy that has looked like Superman for so long. You know, when people would say, oh my gosh, Bill Russell's 80 years old, you'd say, there's no way he's a day over 50. He always had that look about him, but age has begun to catch up to Bill Russell. A guy like John Havlicek just turned 76 years old. It's unbelievable. These guys are getting older. You know, Celtics history is getting longer. And when they bring these guys out, it just means so much. It's so impactful. It had an impact on me tonight. I'm sure it had an impact on the players to be remembered and appreciated. And that means so much. And that's something that the Celtics team can offer that other teams, quite frankly, would like to offer. They just cannot. There's nothing there for them to offer that can possibly compare to what the Celtics did at halftime tonight. Despite being down by 24, 26 points, they were able to throw together one hell of a halftime show and really get the goosebumps going, the goosebumps of the fans, the players, the people at home watching on CSN and ESPN, a nationally televised audience, got to see the best of what the Celtics had to offer. Of course, CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, right here with me, Patrick Gilroy, tonight, other contributors like Nick Gelso, Nick Sacento, we've got a great team throwing this postgame show together for you after each and every Celtics game, and of course to the Garden Report and to Celtics Beat. CLNS Radio will now provide basketball fans with game day coverage before anybody else leading up to tip-off. The all-new Boston Celtics pregame show with Larry H. Russell will be released on CLNSradio.com on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That makes Larry's show the first pregame show to air anywhere. So you want to download the CLNS Radio mobile app today so you don't miss a single episode of what Larry H. Russell is bringing you. And I am really excited for what Larry will bring in a seven-game series against the Atlanta Hawks. This is the first time we'll be doing these pregame shows. I know I'll be getting excited throughout the workday. You know, you wake up, you say to yourself, oh, we got playoff basketball tonight. It's a long 12 hours between the time you wake up and the time tip-off happens. Larry will provide a bit of a break, a bit of a respite from that anxiety, that waiting that us Celtics fans are so familiar with during those long days. So be sure to tune into Larry at 4 o'clock on every single game day throughout the NBA playoffs for the all-new Celtics pregame show. It's the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio and CLNSradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, Nick Gelso alongside Nick Sacento alongside, hanging out, having a good time talking about the Boston Celtics with their final game of the regular season, a win over the Miami Heat, 98-88 at the Boston Garden. The Celtics' final regular season standings are now out. The Eastern Conference has shaken down, and the Celtics finish fifth. So they do miss out on home court advantage in the first round. It's a shame. It's something that the Celtics were all publicly sort of clamoring for. It was a goal of theirs. Unfortunately, it's a goal they were unable to reach. So I tell you what, If you want to talk about missed opportunities, I'm okay with that. This entire show doesn't have to be all sunshine and roses here because of what the Celtics did in the second half. I'm a type of guy that will go back and I will revisit the regular season. And I talked about it with Nick earlier in the program. I'll talk about it with Nick Sesento right now as we bring him into the program, because this is a man with strong opinions, and I'm curious to hear what he has to say. When you look back at the Celtics and their 48-win regular season, knowing that they finished tied with four other teams and were unable to break that tie to earn themselves home court advantage, I look back and I look at two losses to Brooklyn, a loss to the Lakers. We're talking about teams that are historically bad, literally historically bad. And this very good Celtics team lost those games. If you could just win one of those three games, home court is yours. The three seed is yours. And when you look back on the successes and failures of this regular season, those three games right there, I just hope they don't come back to bite the Celtics in the ass if the Celtics have themselves an early first-round exit. Now, I'm really looking forward to hearing what Jared's got for us tonight, because that locker room, it's got to be quite the atmosphere in there, a sense of relief that the regular season is over, maybe a sense of disappointment because I'm sure the team learned that they were the five seed following what happened with the Atlanta and Washington game, Washington upsetting Atlanta. And it's disappointing because Celtics fans assumed that if the Celtics were to win tonight and beat Miami, that means they get the four seed. Nobody could have envisioned an undermanned Washington team beating Atlanta. But maybe that's good news for the Celtics, right? If the Wizards can beat the Hawks, well, why can't we?
Well, why can't we? Right, yeah, exactly. And on the other side of that, good news is the Nets lost again tonight. I think securing third worst record in the league and thus the number three slot, if there is good news in placements tonight and wins and losses.
Oh, you know, third most ping pong balls will come the Celtics' way. I think
that's
that, that's a big deal. And that's something that, you know, we've got the entire offseason to really talk about here, but it's something that excites me. How often do you have a team like the Celtics that goes out and wins 48 games, is expected to compete and potentially win a playoff series, and odds are they're going to wind up with a top three pick? Very rarely does this happen. So the Celtics are a part of something. They're part of another little piece of history here. And if things break right, you could be talking about a team that's competing in the Eastern Conference Finals this year and a team that's got a top three pick. I mean, the future is incredibly bright. So it's something that I am excited about. It's something I know Celtics fans are excited about. But I'm a bit relieved too, Nick, because we don't have to talk about the lottery right now. We don't have to talk about the draft right now. And it's nice. Half of the league, after tonight's over, well, that's all they've got to look forward to. And there's so much more than that still to come here in Boston.
So true. So true. And it wasn't so long ago, all season long, we were arguing with callers because they wanted the Celtics to tank. Tank, 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 right? Now we're well beyond that. And everything that Danny has kind of planned out is coming to fruition, because those trades with sending away KG and Pierce end up now, you know, giving the Celtics a good chance at a high placement in the lottery. The Rondo trade brought in Jay Crowder. It's all working out, man.
It is. It's working out beautifully for the Celtics. I want to get back to the phone lines here because they continue to fill up. Celtics fans are excited for the end of the regular season. They're excited for the way the Celtics brought it in the second half tonight. The number to join us here, 347-215-7771. Let's get right back out to the phones. This is a good old friend of mine who used to call my first show on 1510 The Zone, and then he followed me to 890 ESPN Boston. And when they told me Louie in the Bronx was coming on the program tonight, I said, it's got to be the Louie I know, right? Come on, Louie.
You doing? Oh, my God. This is incredible.
I can't believe I'm talking to you again, Louie. This is great.
Now, this is from when? How long ago was this now? This was how many years back are we talking?
1510 The Zone was a good 10, 11, 12 years ago. And the championship run, we were on 890 ESPN Radio Boston, and you called that program too.
That's right. Wow. It's been, I tell you, ever since I still have NBA League Pass, and it's, I tell you, really, this has been a great run. I'm in my 60s now, but I enjoy you. I was just scrolling on the internet, and I found you guys, and I was so happy that I can connect with you again.
I'm excited you can connect with us too. We've got an entirely new team here, and the point is this, Louis. We still talk Celtics basketball after each and every game. We're doing it live on the internet for CLNS Radio. We're very excited about it. So tonight, it's myself, Patrick Gilroy, joined by Nick Gelso, who's my co-host this evening. He's got a lot of opinions on the Celtics, but your opinion is one that I know matters because you've been watching this team for 55, 60 years. This is something that you live and breathe Celtics basketball. So how optimistic are you with the Celtics being paired with the Atlanta Hawks in the first round?
I like the pairing in a way because, like you said, you know, the regular season, at some way it means a lot because you mentioned before about the games against the Nets and the Lakers. I mean, but I think in a series like this, I think Boston, like you said, if they play defense the way they should, I think they'll beat the Hawks.
Nice.
Isn't that the key to everything?
Right.
That's great. That's great.
Louis, what did you think about the legends tonight at the Garden?
Oh, my God. I saw it on ESPN. Amazing. Oh, my God.
Tell us about that. What goes through your head when you see those guys, having lived all those years as a Celtics fan?
I see most of those guys play. Even I saw, you know, I actually saw Bill Russell play, and I saw John Havlicek play back in the day, too.
Oh, that is just incredible. Incredible.
But listen, guys, I'm going to get going, so I'll talk to you guys. Take care, okay?
Call
Hey, Louis, listen. Yeah. I know you found us, right? You said you found us accidentally scrolling around. We are here after each and every single Celtics game. There'll be somebody from CLNS doing this show, whether it's myself, it's Nick, it's Mike. We've got a handful of guys that do this show. We split the work throughout the entire season. So put it this way. You now have a place to go after each and every single Celtics game, just like you did 10 years ago.
All right. Take care of yourself, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Louis.
I'm sure Louis remembers that guy, right? Oh, my God. What a great call, man. That made my night.
He's a classic. He's somebody that no matter what time of the day we were on, at one point we were doing a 7 a.m. weekend show. We always knew Louis and the Bronx would be on the line. He's just one of those guys.
There's always a Louis down in the Bronx, and just to hear that voice, man, such good stuff. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. And, you know, he's the reason why the NBA has got the NBA package, right? This guy lives and breathes Celtics basketball. And, you know the lean years had to kill a guy like Louis in the Bronx. But, you know, the playoffs are here. Playoffs are on the horizon. Louis's happy. Nick's happy. The other Nick's happy. I'm happy. Everybody's happy. It's a night to be happy, right? In a town full of misery, tonight's a happy night.
I love it. Let's bring Mr. Happy on. You want to bring Nick on while we're waiting for Jared?
Yeah, I think it's time to bring Nick Cicento into the program because this is a guy full of opinions.
Pat, you know what this means? You and I could put the mic down and just take a little relax. You know, if you have to go get a glass of water, go ahead. Because once you bring Nick on, you don't get a word in, man.
It's like a long commercial break.
It is like a long sentence. That's what it's like.
Nick Cicento, welcome to the program, man.
A run-on sentence, and you know the irony is that I teach high school English, so you know I should know better than that. You have to pause between sentences. There's a reason for commas and periods and stuff like that, but I don't obey the rules. Like Nick said, you know, there are no rules. There are no rules. We make the rules, right? That's how it goes. So anyways.
That's how it goes.
Definitely, tale of two halves, and I mean, after that first half, I was about ready to, you know, go take a shower, get myself ready for work, you know, early, you know, tonight so they don't have to do it tomorrow morning. And then I was like, let me just, you know, sit back and see what happens. All of a sudden they go on a run, and I really think that tussle, that little skirmish that happened at the end of the first half, along with whatever it was that the players said, Brad said, Isaiah said, or whoever the vocal leaders are in the locker room, really set the team off. And I think it might have been Jason who mentioned, I think he mentioned Evan Turner coming back as kind of like really showing his teeth after that skirmish. Like he really wanted to get into it. Like once Marcus hit the ground, Evan Turner was in the middle of that. And I mean, not too many people try to go after Udonis Haslam, but Evan Turner was barking at whatever his name is, Dragic, or whatever his name is, Dragic. And then Udonis Haslam wants to come. Yeah, whatever. Ivan Drago. Right? Well, I mean, the funny thing is, you know, who doesn't love, you know, these NBA skirmishes, because nobody ever really gets hurt, save for Rudy Tomjanovich when Kermit Washington had him choking on his own spinal fluid, which is a horrible story in and of itself. But, I mean, usually these things never result in people getting seriously injured in NBA fights. I mean, if there are people that can't really fight, it's NBA players. But, you know, to watch Goran Dragic do everything he can to get away from the situation until the referees and about half a dozen players are between him and Marcus Smart, then he wants to start talking back. That's always the funniest part. And then there's Evan Turner, you know, telling Udonis Haslem, you want some, come and get some.
Nick,
and then,
if you pay attention, if you watch the replay, you'll watch Danny Ainge, because the skirmish happened right behind where Danny Ainge was sitting. He comes at one point flying out of the stands and onto the court. He's trying to usher his players because, look, playoffs are starting on this weekend, right? Well, you know the NBA's rules. If a player from the bench decides to come and join the skirmish, there's suspensions to be had. So Danny Ainge, you know what was going through his mind. It's hilarious. You have to watch the video of him running out of his seat and running onto the floor to get his players back on the bench. It's hilarious.
Yeah, when you need the general manager to well, I guess they didn't need the general manager. When you have the general manager running out on the thing, it lets you know just how serious he takes the game and he takes the situation. And, I mean – Patrick was talking earlier about, you know, if we had just won one of those games against the Nets or one of those games against, you know, some of those sorry teams that we shouldn't have dropped games to. But I think we should just look back even more recently. We shouldn't have dropped that game to the Hornets. We shouldn't have dropped that game as badly as we did to the Hawks when we were up, you know, as much as we were prior to the meltdown. We shouldn't have dropped those games. Those are the games that we really, you know what I'm saying, we knew what was on the line. When we lost to the Nets way back when, I mean, we knew it was on the line, but the team was still kind of a surprise. This past week has been, you know, we knew what we were playing for. I mean, not we, but the team knew what it was playing for. As fans, we kind of get ourselves involved, personally involved. They knew what they were playing for, and they should have played. I think, you know, those were the games they should have got up for. For some reason, we just kind of have the Heat's number. I wish we would have, for multiple reasons, I wish we could have played the Heat in the playoffs, because living in Tampa, it's a lot shorter of a drive to get down to Miami than it is to Atlanta, but I think I'll make one of the games at least anyway. But
well,
I think we match up.
How far is
the drive? If you go on MapQuest or whatever, you know, Google Maps, it'll tell you something like 7.5 or 8 hours.
Okay.
But if you drive like me, it takes you about 6 hours. So, you know, so I get up there. Miami's about 3, 3.5. So, I mean, it's not that bad. You know, I can leave in the afternoon and get there, you know, just as the game is, you know what I'm saying, just before the game starts, and it's not really too much of a stressful drive. The only thing is trying to get back after the game is over, if I have to work the next day or if, you know, whatever, something's happened and I can't stay in Atlanta, that can be a little bit of a bummer. But, you know, it is what it is. It is a good atmosphere for the playoffs. I mean, they do pipe in the noise. It's corny during the season.
It's like an arcade. Come on. It's like an arcade.
Yeah, it is like an arcade. It's corny during the season, but when the playoffs, when they have something to cheer for, it's pretty intense. I've mentioned on the show several times that I was there for the Paul Pierce Tebow game when Rondo was suspended for game 2 of the 2012 playoffs, and you can feel the fans breathing on the back of your neck there. They were talking all kinds of trash, but, you know, you walk out with your head high. Nothing feels better than walking out of an opposing team's stadium or arena when your team wins after they just got done talking all kinds of trash about your team, about you, about your haircut, about your beard, about, you know what I'm saying, what you had for lunch, about the hot dog you're eating, about the type of beer you're drinking, and then you win. And then it's like, you know, you understand. And then you have Celtics fans, because we travel so well, and there's Celtics fans all over the country spilling out into the, you know, the streets of downtown Atlanta, congratulating each other. And it's, you know, there's no greater feeling of camaraderie than that, than being on the road and, you know what I'm saying, experience a win like that. But definitely, I wouldn't have wanted that matchup. I'm with Patrick. Wouldn't have wanted that matchup. I think they are too big for us. I think even not just in the front court where they have tremendous size, but also athleticism, but in the back court, I think Jeff Teague just gives our back court fits. I think he's just a little bit, you know, too big and strong for Avery Bradley. And when on the defensive end, he kind of gives Isaiah Thomas a little bit of problems too. So definitely not the matchup you want, but I think this team can win. The team can, you know, can do it.
I hope. Nick, when was the last time you were up in Boston at TD?
I haven't been to a game in TD, so that's on one of the list. I moved down here when I was just finishing high school, and I wasn't able to get up to the games when I was up there. I was too young. I just wasn't all about it like that. But since I've been down here, I make the trips to Miami, make the trips to Orlando, even to Atlanta. Travel the Southeast, just haven't been to the Garden yet.
Let me just tell you this. After you get to your first game at the Garden, and hopefully it's with one of us guys at the network here, you will never look at an Atlanta Hawks game the same, let me tell you. You will never say their fans are intense or it's a great game.
I'm positive of that. And, I mean, I've had some great sports moments. I won't go into all the, not personally my own sports moments, but I've been to games in SEC country. I graduated from the University of South Florida. They played Auburn in 2007 when I was still in school, and they actually beat Auburn on their home field. And I mean, there's nothing like that type of experience. I was there in West Virginia, came down to Raymond James, sold out Raymond James, bigger than even the Super Bowl when the Super Bowl was played in Tampa several years back. And I mean, those type of things, I can imagine only that TD Garden is even better than that. Because when you watch, I think someone mentioned the other season, I think it was when we lost game six or whatever it was of 2012 and of the Eastern Conference Finals after going up 3-2 in game five, and then we lost game six knowing we was going to go back to Miami and probably not make it out of the Eastern Conference Finals alive. And the chance of, the standing and cheering, the ovation the team still got, even though they lost that game and got blown out in that game, and still received all that cheering and all that love from the fans. You can just tell, even from afar through the TV, that there's probably no experience in the NBA like being in TD Garden. I just don't see it.
To me, there's no place like it in the world. I mean, the old Garden was fun, and it doesn't really translate to TD Garden except for maybe the old timers, a guy like Louis. Brooklyn. I mean, the old timers really feel it. But I think, Patrick, you could agree. When you walk in that room and you feel the energy of, if it's 18 or 19,000 people, I'd say 17,000 of them are Celtics fans, which is a high ratio when you're talking about, a team experience with that many people. You just really, you get a charge. You feel the energy. It's nothing like it. And then you want to talk about pouring out onto Causeway Street after a big win and hitting the bars alongside the Garden. It's just nothing like it.
You mean you're high-fiving, hugging strangers. It's an incredible communal feeling. I've been to games. I've been lucky enough to be to games at Staples. I've been to Miami. I've been to Milwaukee. I've been to a handful of places over the years because of various opportunities that I've had. And I'll tell you what, guys, there's nothing like a game in Boston. I had on my Celtics show last weekend on ESPN Radio, we did a Celtics playoff preview with a insider from Miami. And he actually came on my air and said that, well, one of the advantages that Miami has going for them is their incredible fan base. And I had to hold back the laughter, because you don't see that here. Like, guys don't show up in the second quarter and leave. If you notice tonight, the building was still relatively full, despite being down 26 points at halftime. At the end of that game, when the Celtics were charging back, that building was still full. You wouldn't get that anywhere else in the NBA.
No. You know what? I'm going to stop us right there with that love fest, because Jared Weiss is on the switchboard. He's got about 5 minutes for us, and we could get – actually, I don't see – there he is. And we could get his hot takes. Nick, we'll keep you on the line with Jared. Jared, you're live. I know you're on a timeline here.
Oh, let's keep it hot, baby. It is on fire down here right now.
Hot takes, baby. What's going
right,
on, man?
I'm gonna roll right through it.
Roll right through it tonight.
So first off, as I tweeted a couple minutes ago, 26 point comeback by the Celtics, biggest in the NBA this season. Tweeted earlier tonight, 25-5 win in the third quarter. That is the second time a team has done that in the NBA this season. I told Jay Crowder that. He said, "Oh wow, second time in the NBA? That's impressive." Which is actually a pretty normal reaction. I asked Brad Stevens. but it was Jay Crowder, so it was like way cooler than the way his So, and he was very happy. So I asked Brad Stevens, "What did you say to your guys at halftime?" And he started by saying, "It was nothing otherworldly. We basically talked in the same tenor that we're talking in now, and we sat down and we had a conversation about it's just the kind of team that we're going to be. To quote, he said, we were all embarrassed by the start, and we respect the legends that were there, and more than anybody ever could. And don't forget, they had the 66, 76, and 86 championship yeah. teams there. They pretty much had, like, almost every single great player in NBA history on the court at halftime. It was mind-blowing.
Yep.
And to be in the locker room while that was happening, being down by such a massive margin, being down by 24, I think, at the time, only because Jay Crowder stuck in the layup at the last second. I mean, they were getting destroyed. And Steven said that we just sat there and talked in the center and said, who do you want to be? There's guys in this building that have hung banners. How do you want to look at yourself? It's a collective thing. It has nothing to do with Brad, he said. It had to do with who these guys have been all season. They got away from it mundane in the first half today. But in that second half, a record third quarter, at least a tied record for the season, a record comeback for this season in the NBA. It's a pretty incredible way to cap off the season. And I know everyone's so worried about seeding, positioning, the fact that they're probably going to get Cleveland in the second round, unless for some reason Indiana beats Cleveland. But, I was walking out after the game ended, and I was just next to John Holland, who I actually knew from my days at BU, is with the team right now, and he asked me, who do they have? Because they had no idea. They had absolutely no idea who they were facing until they got out into the hallway. I told John told Brad, and that was literally the first time Brad knew what seed they were and who they were going to be facing, the fact that they're going to Atlanta. And also the plan is that they're going to fly out Friday. Unclear if they're going to have practice or not on Friday, but if they do have practice, I'll be there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Jared, this is Nick Sesento. I just had a question since you mentioned Brad's reaction, or Brad being told about having Atlanta in the first round. Did he have any reaction? Was there any look on his face, any response after being told that he's going to be seeing Atlanta in the first round?
Unfortunately, I turned around right before that happened, so I didn't see it. I just Brad just mentioned that after in the postgame press conference, so I didn't get to see it. I'd imagine it. He had absolutely no reaction whatsoever, because I'm pretty sure he could be told that he won the lottery, and he still would have a stoic nothing on his face, but I can't be certain. But considering how calm his demeanor was during his legendary or otherworldly halftime speech, I'd imagine it was pretty much the same thing. And just a funny thing that ran tonight that I worked into my game story is that he led off with, my speech was not otherworldly, and then all the players that we asked about it all said, yeah, it was kind of otherworldly. Like, it was a total game changer. It sparked the biggest comeback in the NBA this season. So Brad Stevens, his humbleness is working out pretty well for this team.
Jared, I just want to hop in here real quick and talk to you about Isaiah Thomas. Another tough shooting night for Isaiah tonight. He goes 4-for-15 from the field. We all know about his recent struggles offensively. He did crack 20 points for the first time in the last three games tonight, which was good to see. But I think all of us in this room can agree that for the Celtics to succeed in the playoffs, Isaiah's got to be right. So is it a fatigue thing for Isaiah right now? What's been off about Isaiah, in your opinion, the last two or three games?
They've been playing the three other teams that have the same record as them this season. They all finished 40-34. They were playing good teams, and he struggled against them. And also three other point guards that are kind of at the same level as him, or around the same level as him, ability-wise. So he had really tough matchups. I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with him. I think it was pretty clearly just an overall team thing, stumbling into the playoffs, but he had some huge plays at the end of this game too. So it's pretty apparent that as this team goes, so does Isaiah, and vice versa. I wouldn't worry about it.
Jared, before we let you go, just because we were both there, and how did it compare tonight, having all the legends in the building? How did it compare with what we witnessed energy-wise for the Bill Russell statue dedication? That's all I can think of, having all those guys in one place at one time.
That Bill Russell one was at kind of a different level, I'd say. That was one of the most intense and remarkable experiences I've ever had in my life. But this one was pretty amazing. I mean, I was standing in a tunnel behind Bill Walton and Kevin McHale and just about every other
I got that picture.
Up in Boston. it was pretty amazing being in line behind those guys. And, still probably the greatest interview of my life was at that Bill Russell ceremony. Bill Walton sat in a chair, and I asked him one question, and he just went off for 15 minutes. It was literally 15 minutes, and then the end of the press conference. It was just answering my question. It was pretty amazing.
Yep, it was amazing.
Bill is one of the most remarkable people in American history. The guy is an absolute legend. He is such a fascinating, intelligent, wise person. And he was just one of the incredible people that were there tonight. And
how tight was his jersey, though, tonight?
Oh, my God.
It didn't seem that bad. I don't know how it looked on TV, but it seemed like it
was. Oh, wow. He looked like a stuffed sausage, but we got to love him anyway, though.
Really?
Yeah, Jared. Go catch the team, man. Thanks so much. Great season. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Oh, I can't wait, boys. Have a good night.
Be good. There he goes.
There he is, Jared Weiss, live at the Garden, doing his thing. And you know what? It's funny, Nick, because you told us about a half an hour ago that you were looking forward to what he had to say, the insight from the locker room. And, yeah, it's so good. The stuff that he brings is just so good because I can picture – you know, Brad Stevens, he's so humble, saying that, look, my speech was nothing. It's no big deal. And the players sort of shaking their head, saying, no, he gave one hell of a speech. I mean, you can paint that picture in your mind. It had to have been a pretty impactful, pretty meaningful speech for the Celtics to dig themselves out of that hole tonight, as they did, down 26 points. They come all the way back, the final score 98-88. Over the Miami Heat to wrap up the 2015-2016 regular season. If you're just joining the program, the Celtics are locked in with a number 5 seed. They will play the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta this weekend. We just learned that the Celtics will fly out sometime on Friday. Not sure about a practice schedule on Friday. I imagine once we learn the NBA's schedule, what time the Celtics play, Saturday, Sunday, whatever they have got their game one, that will determine how Brad Stevens wants to address practice with this team, just how hard he wants his team to go. There's still a lot of things that need to come into place for the Celtics here, I'm sure. You know, guys like Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Amir Johnson will enjoy the next 48, 72 hours of rest as they prepare their bodies, prepare their minds for what's going to be a difficult first-round matchup. Don't forget, guys, the Celtics last year got swept out of the playoffs. Isaiah Thomas has never felt what it feels like to win a playoff game. He's never done it before. Last year was his introduction to the playoffs, and it didn't go well for the Celtics. Jay Crowder has never won a playoff game with the Celtics. This is a first-time experience that this team is looking to have together. I'll be very, very curious to see just how poised they are, what their defensive energy and effort looks like, and which version of the Celtics we see the next time we see this team take the court.
Patrick, you mentioned all that, and I don't believe, now don't quote me on this, but I don't believe the Hawks have ever won a playoff series against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I know that as of 2008, that was fact. Have the Celtics played them since then? Because when the Hawks nearly eliminated the Celtics, that was a big part of the storyline that we were covering.
Yep, they have never beaten the Celtics, and that really holds no credence today. But you want to talk about, we're bringing up all these legends. You know, Celtics mystique is hopefully still alive. You mentioned Jared Weiss, and as we're wrapping this show up, we got about 3 minutes left. I just want to say he's as cool as ice cream, man. We're at the Bill Russell statue dedication, and, here I am. I'm the owner of the company, and I'm going in with the camera crew, and Jared's there, and, I'm acting cool. I run into David Stern. I mean, I walked right into him. Jared nudges me on the back and says, stop looking so impressed, Nick. It's exactly the way it went down. I'll never forget it. I mean, everywhere you turned around, there was Dr. J, there was Kareem, there was Charles Barkley, Elgin Baylor, just legends, not just of the Celtics, but NBA legends. It was almost like that Hall of Fame luncheon they have on All-Star Weekend, the Legends Luncheon. So it was so awesome. Jared's so cool. He worked so hard. Check out the Garden Report on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNSradio. He shoots it before he calls in with us, and it's really fun, and they've been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff as well, so that's cool. Guys, this was fun.
Yeah, had a lot of fun tonight doing this to wrap the regular season. It's been a fun ride for me the last few weeks. I know I hopped on late in the campaign this year. Hope to do more of the season next year. Hope to do some playoff games with you. I'm a late addition to the team, but it's been a lot of fun for me as well, Nick.
Hey, you'll be back for the playoffs. We got, man, Nick, what he's done social media-wise, helping us with this board, and, of course, with his ranting call-ins has been phenomenal. He'll be back for the postseason. I just got word from Justin. He's going to be available, Justin Poulin, for the the playoffs, the postseason. And Matt Rury will be back, all the usual suspects. So we're really looking forward to Celtics playoff basketball back in Boston, baby.
It's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to it.
CLNS has a strong team to cover it, so, I mean, can't ask for anything better than that.
Hey, man, I didn't have to pay you to say it.
There is NBA regular season basketball wrapping up right now before we go tonight. Quick check of the scoreboard. Warriors up 20, so it does look like they'll get to the 73 wins and break the Bulls record. And Kobe, it looks like he's going to go out a loser, currently down 57-42. In a game with playoff implications, the Jazz have to win that game, so go Utah.
But that's a great matchup, though, Golden State and Utah. I think Utah is probably the team that gives Golden State, you know, the most problems, if you can say that.
I think we can go on for an hour about why you're crazy. You know what I mean? Like, we're wrapping the show, and you bring that up now? We should play the open and start over again.
Didn't they beat Golden State at home, though? The other team that beat Golden State at home along with
us,
I mean.
Yes, Utah did beat Golden State once this year. They're one of the nine losses, along with your Boston Celtics, to beat the Golden State Warriors. So, again, you know, we had a lot of fun here tonight. Celtics playoff basketball comes your way this weekend as the Celtics face off against the Atlanta Hawks. The Celtics will fly out of Boston Friday. In the coming 24 hours, we will know more about the NBA's playoff schedule, exactly when the Celtics will play. If I had to wager a guess, I would bet it would be an afternoon game on Saturday, but I don't make the schedule. Knowing the seeding, knowing the matchups, and knowing where the Celtics and Hawks fall sort of interest-wise nationally, it's probably going to be one of the first two games on Saturday. I don't think they'll put the Celtics on Sunday. We'll make all that official tomorrow when the NBA releases their playoff schedule.
Sounds good. And that is a wrap, guys. And that's official because we got to get ready for the postseason.
We do have to get ready for the postseason. So for Nick Cicento, for Nick Gelso, I'm Patrick Gilroy. Stay tuned to CLNS Radio for further updates on the Celtics and our broadcast schedule. Until then, have a fantastic evening.